On this episode of The Playbook, I have Todd Herman with the alter ego effect, something I've used for years when I used to cold call by making myself someone else. You got to check out how powerful it is to change your identity and your ego when you are an entrepreneur. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer. This is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, here with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have a new release author. Is this your second book?
First, man.
First book, that's even better.
Yeah.
This is such an honor. Todd Herman here. And look at this, the alter ego effect.
Thanks,
so
man.
This conversation, unfortunately, the playbook, Todd, is only 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So this is going to get deep fast.
Let's do it.
Give me an overview of what the alter ego effect is.
Yeah. So human beings, we have one phenomenal superpower that gets overlooked and not untapped as much as it should be. And that's our creative imagination. You know, when we're kids, we play with ideas so easily. And what most people have been taught for the longest time is, you know, when it comes to life, just do it. You know, you grind it out or whatever. But the creative imagination is like the back door to performance. We used to play with ideas of being a superhero or our favorite athlete as a kid, and then we forget to keep on playing with those ideas because people tell you to grow up or whatever. And yet everybody, all of us face resistance to hard things we got to go do. And alter egos have been the device and tool that high-performing elite people have been using for a really long time. And some people dismiss it as like, oh, that's a nice idea. But truly, it's what allows you to get past your own insecurities or whatever it is that's stopping you to get out on the field and perform like you know that you want to and can.
And you created your own, you played football.
Yeah.
And you created an alter ego called Geronimo.
Yeah.
And so how did that work for you?
Yeah. So I was a good athlete, but I was not a physical specimen. I'm not 6'4" and 240 pounds.
I know the feeling, my friend.
but I still wanted to go out there and just like crush people like I built in my own head, right? And I was not that big, but I started to build up these. Ronnie Lott and Walter Payton were my heroes. And so
good heroes.
And I would take trading cards. I'd take a Walter Payton trading card, put it in my helmet because I wanted to think like him. I put Ronnie Lott's in my shoulder pads because I wanted to hit like him, and I put Walter Payton's in my thigh pads because I wanted to run like Walter. But I'm also a huge Native American buff, and so I had this like tribe of Native Americans in my mind, and I brought them all together into this composite one person, Geronimo, to go onto the football field. So Todd stayed on the sidelines, but Geronimo went out there just on one mission. And that's what allowed me to get into the zone and the flow state, because now you're not thinking in your own insecurities. You are really stepping into that sort of and operating that way. And it allowed me to get college football scholarships and play way bigger than I actually was.
That's awesome. And, you know, getting out of your own way is something that a lot of people ask me to business coach them on.
Of course.
And you coach a lot of the Fortune 100 CEOs, teaching them through this alter ego effect of getting out of their own way.
Yeah.
And if I understand you, you're basically detaching the normal ego, which is the fear of loss, you know, fear of right, the fear of being right. I mean, sorry, the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, all the things that hurt us.
Yeah.
And as athletes and as business people.
And as parents.
Great.
All of those things. Absolutely. That's the power that we have. We have this ability to suspend disbelief about what we think we can or cannot do. Again, creative imagination is this unique process that we have inside of ourselves where we build worlds in our head, right? So we tell ourselves stories all the time. To many people, the narratives that we create aren't helpful. And we think that that's who we are. No, if you really unpack who you are, you're this like deep core source of amazing possibility that sometimes it's hard for you to get. People go, yeah, I get that. And it's like, no, I'm not even going to try and convince you. But if you stepped in and through your inner Dave Meltzer, how would he do that? Or Hulk Hogan, or,
that's awesome.
Or you name someone else. We have this grass is greener on the other side effect. We all do. We look at someone else and we go, that person, I can see how why they did it. And we remove away all the narrative and story that they had to go through. And we only look at the qualities that we like. And so you step into that, and that's what allows us to go. It's like the back door to performance, an alter ego is.
I think you should have named the book The Super Alter Ego Effect, because let me explain why.
Yeah.
I've used this without knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
My expertise was in sales.
Yeah.
And I could transform a salesperson immediately by changing their name. Mm. Not using a superpower.
Get it, man.
Right? It was extraordinary. I could take a person that was terrified to cold call, and I tell them, use my name.
Yeah.
Call up and say, this is Dave Meltzer.
Yeah.
I'm calling from here.
Yeah.
This is what I want. And it was a whole new person. Explain. I get the superpower even part. But explain to me how just taking on saying, hey, I'm Jim from Sports One Marketing.
Yeah.
How that can make such a difference. Why is the disassociation occur?
Because Jim doesn't have all of those traumas and those hurts that you've built up over the course of your life. And so there's a clean slate that you're operating off of. And it's like so refreshing to the mind. So you're going to leave you and all your insecurities on the sidelines, and you're going to step into Jim over here. Jim is just, he likes to close. He likes to, you know, like whatever it is that you build in that. And
you put an identity though. So in yours, I would just tell, and I'm going to change use your feature network.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically what you're saying is, hey, not only can you use a different name, but, you know, put Zig Ziglar's name in your wallet.
Mm.
You're Zig Ziglar when it comes to closing, right? Or
whoever
your super closer is.
Well,
and how does that work to super, you know, call it the super alter ego? How is it, you know, Walter Payton in your legs and, you know, Geronimo in your heart?
Yeah.
How did those energies associate back into, you know, getting out of your own way?
Well, I mean, the things that stop us are rarely a physical skill set thing. So many people have the abilities. Like, people don't need more information right now on how to do stuff, right?
Yeah.
What they need is they need some sort of tool that's proven to work, that's actually tapping into the real way that human beings think and operate, not some, I mean, that's the big issue I have with the self-help and personal development or leadership world is they've been trotting out ideas for decades that are proven to not work. They sound like wonderful ideas. They make you feel good. But I'm a practitioner, just like you.
Yeah.
I've been helping people one-on-one, 16,000 plus hours at the Olympic level, professional athlete level, public figures, just like you said, business owners, entrepreneurs all over the world on this. And when you're working with people one-on-one, giving them an idea and then walking back to you a week later and they go, yeah, that thing didn't work. I'm not going to have a job.
Right.
So I have to operate with evidence-based stuff that actually does work. And this does. This is what people are actually using to do. And it's not about being fake or inauthentic. This is actually bringing out the most real version of you possible. So when you're stepping into something like Jim or whatever name that you give them, what we also do and what I talk about in the book is we also want to give them a totem or an artifact. That's why I use trading cards. In business, when I started out, I was 21. I looked like I was 12 and I was so insecure that who's going to listen to me? So I went out and I bought a pair of glasses because I had thought that people who wear glasses and all the people that I'd been influenced by wore glasses and they're all smart. So I'm like, that's what I'm trying to tap into. I'm so insecure, but I'm going to get a pair of glasses. And that's what I'm going to activate is that confident self. Well, what I actually was tapping into is this idea called, or this phenomenon called enclothed cognition. And it's this. When human beings put on something, when the clothes that you wear, we attach meaning to clothing. And what happens is you start to activate the characteristics of whatever you think that clothing means. And Kellogg School of Management did a study on this where they brought a bunch of students into a room and they said, have you ever seen that puzzle before where they have the word of a color, but the word is actually colored in a different, so it's the word green,
right.
But it's red.
Yeah,
because the brain processes color first,
before it says red.
You got to go through and you got, yeah, exactly. You got to go through and actually say the words. And so they brought these students into a room and they got them to do this, this test. And so they were testing their accuracy and their detail. Okay. And at the end, so they track all that and see how quickly they did it, bring in another group to give them another lab or another coat. This time they tell them, oh, it's a white coat and they tell them it's a painter's coat. So they put on the painter's coat and they do the same thing, record the information, they leave. Bring in the second group. And the second group, they're given the same white coat, but this time they tell them it's a lab coat or a doctor's coat.
Hmm.
And they do it. The people who wore the lab coat or doctor's coat made less than half the mistakes and they did it in less than half the time. Why? Because when we think of people who wear lab coats or doctors, they're careful, they're methodical, they're detail-oriented. The people who wore the painter's coat, how'd they do? No better than the plainclothes people, because wearing a painter's coat, you're activating creativity and imagination. That doesn't help you with that skill.
Right.
So that is the, that
that's
is an
called,
example.
Repeat the name of that.
The enclothed cognition.
Enclothed cognition.
Yes. Nice. So it's like if you got a piece of paraphernalia from your favorite superstar, or, you know, Warren Buffett gives you his pen and you start using that pen to like sign things or underline things, you're going to start enclothing yourself probably in the characteristics of Warren Buffett if you do this stuff just the right way.
I'm going to ask Warren Buffett to send me a pair of boxers. Yeah. I'll wear those. Nobody's going to know.
That's going to help you in the bedroom right rich. There.
Exactly. Well, trust me, billions of dollars probably helps you in the bedroom. Yeah. Just a thought. So I'm going to challenge you a little bit to help me.
Yeah.
I get, when I coach people and I work from the process of value like you, I work month to month with everybody I have, and I guarantee mitigating all risk success by saying, if I'm not a profit center for you every single month, don't pay me.
Yeah.
The guy who taught me, Marshall Goldsmith, one of the top business coaches in the world, he goes into CEO of Ford and it tells the board, look, I'm not telling you what I charge. Pay me what I'm worth at the end of the year. That shows you know your value.
Yeah.
I can teach people what to think, say, and do.
Yeah.
Right? Just through experience.
Yeah.
I work a lot on the limiting beliefs that you get out of the way using the alter ego.
Yeah.
Right? It's getting rid of all those. Because when the time we're born, people put limitations on our beliefs.
Of course.
Shut up. Yeah. Slap, right? The minute. And they take, I forget the study, but, you know, what a mind thinks at the age of 5 compared to 50 of all the limitations that's been put on that mind.
Yeah.
Well, I also train two sides that has extraordinary results, and I want to know how this affects it.
Yeah.
I believe in an unconscious competency.
Yeah.
I believe that there's an energy out there that if I can teach people to carry a certain energy, they can attract more rapidly and accurately what they want. But I also think this may apply even more, the alter ego effect, to the unconscious competency of our genetics, that we have DNA programming that we're born with that has these ego-based limiting beliefs that get in our own way. And we can't get over them. They come out as personality traits, obsessions, addictions, and characteristics. OCD would be one that I could see this helping with, where if you're obsessive, you can change that through alter ego effect to be extreme positive compared to being detrimental. How can I use the alter ego effect on one or both of these unconscious competencies?
I'll give you a great example. So you know Cary Grant, the amazing
Diane Cannon and I share our Lakers seats. I see a picture of Cary Grant every time I go to a Laker game.
So Cary Grant, well known, you know, Hollywood golden era actor, 1940s, 50s, 60s. Well known for being debonair, charismatic.
Best looking man on the planet, he was called,
And he came from Bristol, England, but he suffered all of his life with depression. And he had, and I talk about it in the book, he had this one prophetic quote that he shared before the end of his life, which was, he said, I pretended to be somebody I wanted to be, or I became that person, but at some point in time, we met. And what it was he really wanted to create this self that wasn't shackled to depression and being so, he was very, very insecure about where he was, his background and things like that. And I think it's probably the most perfect encapsulation of this idea. The only thing I would change about it is I wouldn't say pretended, because this isn't about pretending. This is about I activated the person I wanted to be, or I became that person. So if you think about, you know, someone right now that you're working with, and you, I know you work with a lot of people, they have this current version that they feel stuck inside. And again, because we're working with ambitious, achieving people who want to strive to do big things and make an impact. So you've got this version right now that there might be something that's bumping up against, and it's a resistance that they can't seem to get past. But they have this vision of this future self that they want to get to, right? And I think the way that Cary had said it is such a great example, that if you think of it like a Venn diagram of two circles, the current you and the future you, and they might overlap a little bit. Like there's parts of you that, it's great. I'm not telling people that you're all failing, but no, I'm a... But at some point in time, they meet. That's what happened to me. Like when I was starting out and I was so insecure, wore those glasses to help activate that Superman version of myself in business. One day I was working and I was sitting down at my desk and I was doing all the things that previously were like terrifying me, cold calling people or whatever. And I wasn't wearing my glasses. I had become the person that I most wanted to be, and I wasn't consciously thinking about it anymore. It was unconscious competence for me.
Nice.
I had became that person. And so tapping into and leveraging this idea, that bridge to help bring those two worlds, that current self and that future self together, is the creative imagination. And one of the tools that we use is the alter ego to help make that happen. Step in and through that to help navigate that resistance that you've got.
One of the athletes that we represented when we were at Lee's, he actually went to the same high school as me, as Ricky Williams. Mm. One of the things that helped Ricky was when we put the dark shades on his helmet.
Exactly.
Do people subconsciously, or without thinking about it, when we wear costumes or wear, you don't have to take an alter ego, but I feel a difference. Like, this is my cool Super Bowl jacket.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
This is,
it's great.
There's not very many of them. Yeah. I got lucky, to be in the Nike Sweek as a now influencer, but to get this cool jacket, I feel differently when I wear this jacket than when I wear, my custom suit or a tie.
Yeah.
How's that, without putting in too much charge to it, but I think there's an alter ego effect to wearing different things.
Yeah, all we're doing is we're tapping into already existing psychological phenomena that are inside of our heads. So, while everyone else is trying to tell you to use willpower, when you're dealing with resistance, that's like a mouse staring down a herd of like rumbling elephants. It doesn't work. And I feel terrible for people that have been led down this road from the self-help world, because it just doesn't work for them. This is a good example. Wearing that coat like that just makes you feel cooler. That's not you being fake. That's you activating a different quality of yourself already, right?
Yeah.
But to that point about Ricky Williams putting the visor on, I'll tell you one last story. So on the book cover, there's a pair of glasses there. Yeah. And so a lot of friends, they think that that's me paying homage to my alter ego, because I don't need glasses, or it would be like Superman Clark Kent, because I talk about Clark Kent and Superman.
Got three of my best friends on the back.
that's awesome. But it's not. Those glasses are an exact replica of someone who led an important mission and movement in America. And I was doing a speech a long time ago, and I was talking about mental game, and specifically how we use how I wore glasses to get past myself and get myself out there. And this lady came up to me afterwards. She said, "I love your talk, and specifically, I loved how you use non-prescription glasses." She said, "Martin didn't need glasses either." And I looked down at her badge, and it's Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's wife. And people don't know this, but Martin Luther King wore non-prescription glasses all the time to step into his distinguished self, because he felt like he was carrying such an important mission and movement forward that he didn't want his insecurities to get in the way of that mission. So he wore those glasses as a way to shield his more sensitive self from the slings and arrows that came his way, but still get out there and do the tough stuff that he needed to go and do. And so we all have that, and this actually is just tapping into existing stuff that you've already got in your head and do it with more grace.
That's so funny, right? Because I never, ever would think about wearing glasses because I have such supreme confidence in that side of me. Yeah, yeah. But I'm such a dork. I have to wear the glasses. But I love
whatever
just so
works,
you know,
man.
On here, JJ Virgin, Brian Smith, Neil Patel, three of my dear friends. Brian Smith, actually a mentor, the founder of Uggs.
Yeah.
This is incredible. Last question.
Yeah.
As a beginner, not as a coach, right?
Yeah.
As a beginner, I'm reading the book. What's the one most effective thing that somebody can do? Because it's not very hard to implement this. What would you suggest? I come to you as a neophyte, and I say, man, I'm really insecure. Like, how do I change my life with your book?
Yeah. Well, one thing I want people to recognize is you've already done this. Every single human being on the planet has already done this. Why? Because as kids, we played with these ideas, right? And then someone says, grow up or whatever. So you've already done it. And I say it in the book. This is about you remembering something that you've got innate inside of you. Yes, I'm giving you a process. Yes, I codified it because I was getting paid to at a high level. But you already know how to do this. Don't complicate this. But first thing is context. We only build an alter ego for one field of play. Right? So for business or for your home life or sport or health and fitness, just one. We're not creating an alter ego across all of our domains of life, okay? So that's the first thing. Second thing is, out of all of the things I talk about in the book, that idea of a totem and an artifact, that thing that we can use to enclothe ourselves in a new idea, really step into and use something like that. So if you want to be a badass rock star, find some old vintage t-shirt of Alice Cooper's that's being sold on eBay, and maybe you go and buy that and you step into that, or whoever. But really just know that this is about you acting very intentionally, activating traits that you know that you probably have invested or have inside of you, and you're just using a different idea. But that insecurity thing that you just brought up, the most powerful people who have used this the best, they know a lot about what their alter ego is. So Kobe Bryant's Black Mamba, I talk about the story in the book about how he created the Black Mamba. He devoured information about the Black Mamba itself. Like, he knows more about the Black Mamba than biologists do.
Wow.
And so when you go out there, if you're going to step into, you know, Martin Luther King as your alter ego or Abraham Lincoln, like, learn a lot about them. It'll actually, because it'll resonate deeper inside of you to help connect with you at the heart core. So allow you to walk through it.
Wow. Well, I'm already living this alter ego.
I know you are.
I'm going to teach it.
Thanks, man.
I was thinking while you're doing, I'm like, wow, this like already emblematic of what here, my whole brand, right? I'm the sports entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I have one of the coolest, at least self-proclaimed, coolest Super Bowl jackets ever made. And then I'm wearing Gary V's
win,
right? Yeah. So sports entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I'm using that effect. I don't have to wear the glasses because I already feel like a dork. But anyway, Todd, I can't wait to finish this book. I started it since it's being released today. I didn't have too much time.
Of course.
But you can find this book everywhere. Hudson, Barnes and Nobles, Amazon's. You can't miss it with the yellow and black.
Yellow highlighter, man.
I'm telling you, this book will change your life. This has changed my life. As I told you before, unfortunately, it's only 20 minutes. So you owe me another 6 hours so I can really learn about things and get into the conscious, unconscious, and subconscious ideas of the ego. Getting out of your own way is truly the biggest gift that somebody can give you.
Yeah,
you got to get this book to get out of your own way. It's a really easy way to explain getting out of your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful to have you on the playbook.
Thanks for having me, man.
Todd Herman, incredible author, coach, speaker, and all around great guy. Be kind to your future self. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.